comedy. People confuse the subject of the joke with the target of the joke, and they're very rarely the same. Ricky Gervais. My Uncle Fred was a Belle Fouche, South Dakota cowboy. He was a rancher, an antiques dealer, a car salesman, a horse trader, and an auctioneer. When I was 9 years old, I was his designated driver because I could drive with a standard transmission on his Ford pickup. He once said to me, "If your horse ain't farting, you ain't working him hard enough." Much of the time, when he'd smile coyly, a joke was forthcoming. His favorite running joke to our cohort of cousins usually came before dinner. He'd say, "We're having gopher gut soup tonight," with a deadpan face. The first time we all thought he was serious, as images of what that might taste like raced through our heads. Grandma had 12 kids and dozens of grandkids. Uncle Fred got a lot of mileage out of that joke. He was an old fun bird who had a real zest for life and loved doing deals for goods of all kinds. I think that, to my ancestors who somehow braved South Dakota in the 1800s, a good sense of humor was a psychological tool for survival. So, we explored this concept in our homeschool, where laughter is always welcome. When I was around 3 years old, I was outside with my grandpa. He was chopping wood, and I was sitting off to the side while he busily filled his pile. Occasionally, a chip of wood would pop off and hit me. After a few times being hit, I said, "Quit hitting me with them goddamn wood chips." For reasons that defied me at the time, my grandpa stopped chopping and we went inside, after which he burst with laughter, telling my grandma and mother about the incident. I didn't get a spanking. I made my family laugh. Some of the stories that might have seemed horrific at the moment have been passed down and now seem really funny. For instance, my grandpa and his brother married my grandma and her sister. I'm just going to let you think about that for a second. They lived across the road from one another, and there was a fiery sibling rivalry that developed over time that consisted of ruthless practical jokes. The rivalry reached a peak when one of the brothers threw a lit stick of dynamite across the road early in the morning, as the story goes. Upon introspection, it might be a genetic trait to take a joke too far to make sure you've taken it far enough. This one's dedicated to the memory of my Uncle Fred, who loved such jokes as, "If you have ever smelled mothballs, how'd you get their little legs apart?" This is a true story. Butchie is our dog. He's a good dog. He's getting old. This summer, he'll be 13. That's 91 in dog years. He developed a wicked thirst recently, then started losing his hair. He still prances around like a two-year-old, but he'd be a really bald two-year-old. We think it might be his prostate, but I've never checked. Maybe Cushing's disease, but most likely it's his thyroid. One of the spots, embarrassingly, that has been going bald is under his tail. But not completely bald. The other day I noticed that at just the right angle, there was some hair remaining around his butthole that looked like a mustache. That bald old dog has a mustache on his butt. Butchie's always been excited by knocking on the door. The other day I was doing dishes and something I did sounded like knocking on the door. Butchie starts barking, gets really excited, and lifts his tail way up high. Hand to God, that hair was part of a ring that went the entire way around. Looked like a goatee on there. Thinking about maybe renaming him Steven Seagal or Will Riker or David Brent. We try our best to live with a free speech ethic. That means accepting and rolling with colorful language. We don't encourage our children to swear by default. But we do teach that language is an art, and certain language can be appropriate despite being more colorful. We find a lot of colorful language in comedy, and we would cut ourselves out of a lot of that value if we were too overzealous about cutting out these words. According to the Mayo Clinic, laughter increases air intake, relieves stress, soothes tension, improves immune system, relieves pain, and improves mood. Some research seems to indicate that appreciation for dark humor is a sign of intelligence. See Cognitive and Emotional Demands of Black Humor Processing, The Role of Intelligence, Aggressiveness, and Mood. Some jokes are like puzzles, and getting them requires a nimble mind. We do try to draw a distinguishing line for our children between vulgarity, slander, and artistic expression. I also have faith in this assertion based on personal experience with many different people. Some of the densest people I've met struggle to understand jokes or even to simply laugh. Here's a short list of some of our favorite comedians. Please be advised that these comedians sometimes tackle controversial topics with colorful language. Jim Brewer, very physical, loud rants, funny laugh. Jim Carrey, very physical, facial contortionist, exceptional imitation. Mitch Hedberg, makes common, ordinary things comedic through perspective shifting. Dave Chappelle, brilliant, sardonic writer, tackles touchy political issues. Bill Cosby, classic family-friendly comedy and the inception of Fat Albert. Robin Williams, physical comedy, quick reactionary improv. Jim Gaffigan, family-oriented perspectives, poking fun at the decline of masculinity. Gallagher, family-friendly fun with a big wooden hammer and lots of fruit. Matt Rife, raunchy perspective-based humor and improv under heckling. Ricky Gervais, raunchy controversial humor.